blessing, words of grace, mercy, and peace. May it be multiplied unto you this evening here in the month of November as we continue on a series on fivefold ministry. Amen. And tonight's series of teaching is exclusive to the gifting of the pastor. Amen. But as always, I believe in foundationing what we teach with the word. Amen. So for those of you that have the word of the Lord with you this evening, I ask that you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and the word of God reads as thus, and I'm reading to you from the Standard King James Version, and it declares thus, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some evangelists, or correction, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Amen. And with that still being the foundational scripture, once again, the topic for tonight's discussion is fivefold ministry and the teaching on the gifting of the pastor. Once again, as I've continued to orate for the past few series of instruction, it has been on fivefold ministry. And what I've just read, once again, to place into your hearing, is the fact that the fivefold ministry that we always talk about the identity of the apostle, the identity of the prophet, the identity of the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, is self-evident to, if I may say in slang, the DNA of what Jesus Christ is all about. Many people have still got this thing hung more so on the office versus the gift. And if I can reclarify, just in the reading of verses 7 up to 11, it clearly identifies that these are giftings that are poured or filled into each and every individual. If we claim that we're going to be Christ-like, especially if we came from God's DNA, as it says in Genesis when he says, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness," God made us to be like him, to look like him, and in the same turn, he gave us the ability of spiritually being identified with him. And so with that being said, the seed of Jesus Christ, you know, especially as us saying as believers, we want to be Christ-like, then that means there is the possibility and the ability for us to be that, but we first got to recognize the seeds that are hidden within. Now, as I've said here in the past few teachings as well, there's a thing of an identity that's hidden within us about the apostle. There's a thing of an identity hidden within us about the prophet. There's an identity hidden with us of the evangelist, and tonight I want to identify the identity of the gifting of the pastor. Amen. Now, for those that have their notes with them, one of the key things is to define to you what is a pastor as it is referenced in the New Testament, because here we're looking at Ephesians, the foundation of scripture. Amen. And the word pastor, for those who don't know, comes from the Greek word poimen, which means a shepherd or overseer of a body of believers. Amen? When you look at the word pastor, if you're looking at it in the sense in the physical, it's in identification to a shepherd who has the responsibility over sheep. When we look at it in the spiritual, as we do in the body of Christ, it's in association to an overseer of a body of believers, or somebody that's responsible for some people that are believers or members of the body of Christ. Amen? So now, if I can, I want to even go a little bit deeper. The Holy Spirit was giving me a deeper revelation on that word appointment to really hit it on the bullseye to tell you appointment is nothing more than a point man. Everybody catch that? Employment is basically a point man. If anybody knows anything about military terminology and so forth, we usually call a point man the leader, the one who's carrying you somewhere. Amen? And if they're a point man, watch this, the point man has the ability to make points that are on point. Did you hear me there? A point man is a person that not only leads, but when they lead you to points or give you points that are on point, meaning that they're not in error or they're not a farce or out there that's inconceivable. So that tells me, you know, on a deeper revelation, that the pastor is one who is an overseer who is called to give me godly points in order to lead me to a godly place that's on point for my life. So now that we've got at least a foundational definition of what a pastor is from the Greek, the next thing that it would bring probably into your thinking is, what are the responsibilities of a pastor? Amen? Because now, you know, a lot of people think that the pastor, when we talk church-wise and we say a pastor, people only associate the pastor with somebody that gets up and preaches a sermon during church service, or somebody that may teach Bible study, and there's no more association with them as any other responsibilities. However, when you really understand what a pastor is, when you understand its definition, they have additional responsibilities. Let me kind of lay this thing out like a shepherd, because, you know, in all of this, when we really get into this thing about the pastor, you will see a pastor parallels the responsibilities that are defined out for a shepherd. Because when you look at the word, and if you ever tried to go look and find in anywhere in the Bible a specific definition as to the responsibilities of the pastor, you won't find that. Amen. You know, it's easy to go to the book of Timothy and find out the responsibilities of a bishop, or find out the responsibilities of a deacon, or what they're held accountable, but you don't really find that specifically outlined in the scriptures regarding the pastor. However, do not fret, because once again, a pastor parallels that to what we would call a shepherd. So if you really want to get into the nuts and the bolts of what a pastor is supposed to do, begin to study on what a shepherd does by scripture, and it will line up spiritually as to the pastor. So if we're now understanding this with the parallel of the responsibility of a pastor to a shepherd, here are some of the things that anybody can look in a basic definition of a shepherd and get their responsibilities, which one is they watch out for the enemy. All right, if they're responsible, a shepherd is responsible for a flock, amen. So if they're responsible for a flock, that means they're responsible for the livelihood of the flock or the sheep that they have. And if they're responsible for the livelihood, one of their number one responsibilities is to watch out for the enemy. Number two, their responsibility is to defend the flock, meaning protect it from the enemy. They have watch to make sure that nothing happens while they're on their watch, but then if something does, they have to be able to defend their sheep. All right? A shepherd also has the responsibility to heal the wounded or sick sheep, meaning be able to be, in a matter of speaking, a physician to help them if they're sick. If they've got a broken leg or an injury that's bleeding, they have to know how to patch them up. They got to know something about first aid, if you understand what I'm saying. So in the same turn, that still falls and translates over to a pastor. They have to know how to identify when folks are ill in order to patch them up in the spirit. Amen? Same turn, they have to have the ability to find and save sheep. Shepherd usually knows who belongs to them, so they've got the ability to go save one that's lost. Or if they can identify one that has no fold that it should be in, they will still take the responsibility to go get that sheep and bring it into their fold, to nurture it as one of their own. In the same turn, that's the responsibility of a pastor. All right? Also, the responsibility of a shepherd is to love the sheep. All right? Now, remember, when we talk about love, you know, I'm one deep on going back to 1 John 4:7-8. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not love, for God is love." So when I say love the sheep, it means I got to be godly to sheep. It's not just a thing about showing and expressing affection, but being into a godly mindset at all times to take care of the sheep. This is a responsibility that falls in alignment with the pastor, amen? Now, in that, out of all of those things that I just mentioned as part of their responsibility, it ultimately gains the trust of the sheep, because the pastor or the shepherd has to be trusted by the sheep in order to for the sheep to stay in the fold. Amen? See, we have to understand that pastors, once again, aren't just people that get up and speak. There is a line of responsibility, as I just outlined, that goes with their assignment, with one walking in this. Now watch this, keep this in mind. I said that, you know, this is an identity that is within each and every one of us. So catch this, pastoring is just not limited to the church setting. Pastoring is even at home. Because, see, the church can't exist if the family doesn't exist. The God structure is God first, then family, then the church. Because the church is only a mirror image of what a family looks like. So if the family ain't in order, then the church won't be in order. So how does the church get in order other than a family practices the same anointing or gifting in the household? So whoever is the head of the house has filled the responsibility of the element of pastorship. They have to be responsible to look out for the enemy regarding their spouse and their children. They have to be responsible to fend off any attackers that come against their family, both physically and spiritually. They have to fend off or fend off illnesses that come along, or be ready to nurture their family, both physically and spiritually, if they're hurt. They have to be in a place to go look for their family when their family is lost, out of relationship with God, or when they're lost out of complete relationship with the family. Understand, this anointing of pastorship transcends. It just becomes emulated in the church through the God-man or the God-woman that's the point person over a bigger body for you to see how this works for you. Amen? So now, let me still going on and keeping deep with this thing about the pastor and the pointman. What is so interesting that a pastor is set or a shepherd is set over a flock is due to the fact that even the Greek word for flock is poimne. The Greek word for pastor is poimen, and the Greek word for sheep or flock is poimne. Okay, so now that gives you an understanding that they go hand in hand. And see, in that, the pastor still has the responsibility of looking over the flock and bringing them into a place of understanding, knowledge, and growth. Amen? So now that tells me both of them are also meant to work together. One can't function without the other. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. A shepherd can't be a shepherd without sheep. Everybody catch that? Sheep can't survive without a shepherd, and a shepherd can't be a shepherd unless they got sheep. Okay. Now, let's begin to look at some scriptures here. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 27. In Numbers chapter 27, in verse 17, the scripture says, "Which may go out before them," and let me actually just go back up to verse 16. "Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." See, it's not God's will for sheep to be without a shepherd. And it's not God's will for a shepherd not to have sheep. The shepherd has the responsibility to lead sheep in and lead sheep out, because sheep are only babes that have not matured or don't know how to mature to their identity as to what they need to be in God. So God gives you a shepherd in order to mature you from infancy, so that you don't get poisoned in the process and grow up improper and not live to your full potential. Everybody catch that? The thing is for you to live to your full potential. Okay? Now, if I can still give a little bit more on this, turn with me to Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Actually, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah 23:4, it says, "For if ye do these things indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people." Hold on, I'm sorry, I read the wrong verse. 23:4. "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Okay, so once again, God had a purpose with giving a shepherd to the people, or a pastor, because he gives a responsibility that they shall feed you. So watch this. In most instances, sheep don't always have the ability to feed themselves. And if they do feed themselves, they may not be sure that they feed themselves the right stuff. So a shepherd has a responsibility of feeding sheep the right stuff. And in the process of feeding, watch this, the shepherd brings sheep into a place of comfortability where they lose the element of fear. See here, right here in the verse, it says, "And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So as you get the comfortability of pressing into somebody that can feed you the word, and it become good word, if you really hear what I'm saying here about the responsibility of a pastor, then it brings you into a place of comfortability where your fears of hanging out there by yourself are no longer there. And you're no longer in a place of confusion, because now you're in a place of clarity that you know where your source is coming from. And when you come into that, you will come to discover that your walk has no lack. See, sometimes when we're in a lonely place doing stuff for the kingdom, we begin to look back on our lacks or our inefficiencies as to what we're doing to advance in the kingdom. But the responsibility and the anointing of the shepherd or the pastor that God gives and places in your life is to empower you that everything that you're doing for the kingdom has no lack. It has no shortage. You will know that your sustenance comes from God. As the word says, we look to the hills from which cometh our help which cometh from the Lord. The pastor has the responsibility of instilling in you that your help is always there from God. There is never a denied moment that you will feel that you ain't got no help or that all needs can't be covered, because you'll know that he is the God of all your needs and is sufficient. If the God man or the God woman that walks in the anointing of the pastor operates in that fully. And see, that's the way we should be living, because note that I said before that we should have the element of pastorship even in our own household. We should always be in a place of understanding and feeling that no matter who all is in the household, whether spouse, whether children, cousin, aunt, pookie, and them, anybody comes in, they should feel confident out of the anointing that we speak that all of their lacks and needs will be covered. Now that we've got that clarified, it brings me to this. Are pastors referenced in the Old Testament? Because I know some are saying that maybe listening, saying, okay, you've identified the pastors there in the New Testament, but is this only a New Testament thing, or did God also identify it in the Old Testament? Well, yes, he did. Turn to me still here in the same book of Jeremiah, if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And the word declares, "And I give you pastors according to..." according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So, Old Testament-wise, God says, I'm going to give you pastors that will feed you after my own heart. Meaning, they will feed you after my own thoughts. The things that they sow into your life will be the thoughts of how I think as a God. So, with that, he says, basically, they speak as my orators to give you the goodness of what I give through them in order to get to you. Their responsibility is to be your lifeline. You know, just like children, when they come out of the mother's womb, they're hooked up by an umbilical cord, and there's a separation that has to happen. Well, God says, I will re-hook up with you as an umbilical cord through the pastor to give you all the nourishment that you need as sheep. Amen? So, in this, understand that when you connect with the pastor, another key thing for the pastor is the fact that they have the responsibility to bring God's people together. Everybody hear me? See, what's out of the will of God is when you have people operating in pastorship that they bring people into separation. Pastorship brings people into unification. Amen. Y'all know how some churches get like Missy Marvin. Folks that are called in the pastorship sometimes begin to separate people or cause division among people. No, the pastor is not supposed to cause division. The only thing that should cause division is God's word severing unrighteousness in the lives of the believers from righteousness. Amen. But the pastor has a responsibility to hold God's people together because God actually forewarns them for separating his people. Turn with me still here in chapter 23 of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23, all right, verses 1 and 2 says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. So the Lord says, what you haven't done, I'm going to turn around and bring that right back on you because you scattered my people and have not visited them. See, understand, visitation, if I can be real deep, when you start looking at visitation here in the book of Jeremiah, it's like being a midwife. Amen? And if I can understand that, give you understanding on that, a midwife comes when a seed has been deposited into a woman in order to ensure that everything is going on course before the birth. So now, if this says that you're supposed to visit, watch this. The pastor, in feeding you, excuse me, sows a seed of God in the midst of you. And they have the responsibility to be a midwife or an overseer of your life to ensure that that seed matures and births itself. God is saying right here, if the pastor does not come and follow up with you, come on somebody, if he doesn't come and follow up with you to ensure the maturity of the seed, that it's being fed right, that it's being spoke to right, and that it comes into birth, then God causes the same thing to happen to that pastor. The seed will become void, mixed, and it will be aborted in their own life, which means that can cause the possibility of an anointing being lifted out of your life. So in the same term, even when you think on pastorship, even in the midst of your household, you have a responsibility to nurture that seed in the life of each and every individual under your house so that it comes into maturity for the kingdom. Amen? Ha. So. Now, in that, God even says again, he talks about the foolishness of those that don't operate properly as pastors. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 11, let's look at verse 15 through 17. Amen. In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 15 through 17, the word says, "And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instrument of a foolish shepherd." Hear me now. This is foolish shepherd. Now, understand this. What I'm going to give you in regards to the foolish shepherd, a good shepherd does the opposite. Amen. But the Lord says, "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off." Now remember, when I was giving you the basic definition of a shepherd, I told you they're supposed to watch out for the enemy, they're supposed to defend the sheep, heal the wounded and sick sheep, they're supposed to find and save the lost ones, show love for the sheep, and earn their trust, amen? Alright, and all that, as I just mentioned to you, before we turn to this scripture, that the pastor has a responsibility or the shepherd to make a visitation upon the sheep. Amen? So now, this says, however, lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young ones, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd. Okay, watch this. We've already had a revelation on idolatry, understanding that somebody that does nothing. So what I'm giving you a revelation here, this is a warning for us not operating in the identity of the pastorship that falls on us within our household and what happens in the house of God for those who are in the identity or title of the pastor. It says, "Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." So God says, "I even will dry you up and take the anointing and the vision away and the hand of power out of your life if you're not operating in the fullness." Now, with that being said, you know, this is a prophetic station break. How many right now are already operating withered up? How many that you know in church pulpits as well as in your own households are already in this place that you become idle, that God has already dried up your prophetic vision or dried up your power in him? See, understand that the power is yoked to you operating in the identity of the giftings that God has given you. But when you don't put them things into operation, then God holds you accountable and begins to strip those things and cause them to be your worst enemy. Amen. So now, the next question, what is a pastor referenced in the Old Testament? Amen. Now, here in the Old Testament, the Hebraic word for pastor is reha, which is somebody who is a special friend or companion who tends to a pasture and feeds the sheep. In association to the Bible believers, a pastor is one who establishes and maintains a territorial place to feed and protect the believers. If I can put that in a nutshell, once again, like I said, a pastor or a shepherd by Old Testament scripture is not just a basic friend or somebody like your Ace Boone Coon that you kick around, you know, and do any old and everything with. They have the responsibility to be what you would consider a special friend because they're above and beyond or have a little bit more responsibility of not just befriending you but caring for you and being responsible for you or being responsible for your spirit. And in the same turn, they have the responsibility in order to not only feed you but to establish the territory where you're being fed at. See, pastorship also encompasses or enhances the ability to set a set atmosphere. If you think about it, if a shepherd has the responsibility to tend a pasture, the first thing that the shepherd does is goes and finds territory that is good for food and is safe for animals to graze there without having fear of, as soon as they try to eat, they're going to be attacked. If everybody's hearing what I'm saying. So if you understand this, then the pastor, the shepherd, has a responsibility to first go seek out a territory. They go seek a place that they feel comfortable, that they can sow into everybody's life, where everybody can get their full fill, versus having to eat lightly and get on the go without getting their fill in order to mature them. Because, see, sometimes when you eat too lightly, you miss the nourishment that you need to fulfill your destiny. Everybody hear that? Sometimes if you end up eating too lightly, you won't eat a sufficient amount or eat the right, if I may say, vegetables in order for you to do what you've been assigned to do by God. And so the pastor has the responsibility that your territory is covered, that when you come in, you're in a soulless. You don't have to be in a place of being defensive. Amen. You should be in a place of being offensive, ready to go grab something, versus feeling that, oh man, I got to put my guard up because I'm going into a place to be fed. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying right now? See, this thing that by Old Testament, when we understand that, it is a thing of them setting you up for a place of success. Amen. Territory of sowing into you means a place of success. It's the same thing how right now we got things by the conference line. It's a place of success because I don't have to worry about somebody necessarily dipping in and calling it out, because this is a members-only club in a matter of speaking. It's only an exclusive grouping of people that call in that ain't got no fears of anybody interfering with what they're about to get from the Lord. Amen? So now, did God have a known purpose behind establishing his pastors? Did God have a purpose? Because I know some people say, okay, now you've given me what a pastor is, defined Old Testament and New Testament, but is there a purpose? And once again, yes, there is a purpose. Turn with me back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. In Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 15. The scripture declares, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, it seems like that verse is just hovering around here in this Bible study teaching. He says, I will give you a pastor after my own heart. Now, when we say my own heart, understand, heart comes from the Hebraic word leb. And leb, when it is defined, means the inner mind, or the will, or determination, or the reflection and understanding of God. So now, let me read that again. He says, I will give you pastors according, or watch this, according is really saying in the order of what my heart is. And my heart is a pastor that's after my own thinking, after my own willpower, after my own determination, after my own reflection, and after my own understanding. Meaning, if this is a pastor or a shepherd that's given in your life, that's been given by God, then you should see the inner mind's working of this individual, that they have a godly mind. You should see that this person has willpower, because they will implement willpower as they speak into your life. This should happen not only in the pulpit at the church, but it should happen at home at the head. They should be one that has determination. See, God can't operate that anointing if you always busted and disgusted or feeling defeated. You should always feel like you are a victor. And as a victor, that means your willpower is always in, that you say, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. There's nothing that can defeat me, because I am in the will of God. And as I'm in the will, then it causes me to have a determination. And when I've got all of these things beginning to work in my life, then I begin to reflect what God looks like. When I come into contact with somebody that operates in that anointing, then I can identify that they're walking under the pastorship or shepherdship. Amen? See, because understand, you're raised up in this in a purpose. And see, God, watch this. He even puts them in your life in a place when you are going to another place from where you've been. Amen? Watch this. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Well, you're already there, Jeremiah chapter 3. But look at Jeremiah verse 14. verse 14, before he says in 15 that I'm going to give you a pastor after my own heart, he says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So he says, basically, first of all, I begin to speak into your life that I need you to turn from a place and go to a place that I'm going to take you. Then when he takes you to a place, he says, I'm going to give you a pastor after my own heart. Did everybody catch that? He first says, you've got to have a changed mind as to where you are to go into a greater place and be willing to let him lead you. When you're willing to let him lead you from where you're at, then God can make a pastor manifest in your life. See, some people bring pastorship into their life in the wrong timing. They haven't moved themselves to try to go to a better place. Y'all know what I'm saying. That's the same thing with some people come to church. They'll want to get into ministry and get a word, but they don't want to be submitted because they have not brought themselves from a place to be led. See, understand, what verse 14 is bringing you a revelation on is the fact that in order for God to be able to root a pastor or a shepherd in your life, you still first got to be in a place that you're ready to be led. And in order for you to be led, you got to turn from a way of being a renegade or rebel of not having anybody in your life to lead you. Okay, that's a revelation for itself. Amen. So now, this brings me to question number 6. Is it good for an individual to have more than one pastor or shepherd speaking in their life? My answer on this is no, it is not good for an individual to have more than one pastor. Now don't get me wrong or get this twisted. I'm not saying that there won't be other pastors or people that speak a word into your life or you're hearing. But what I'm saying is it is not good for you to be submitted to more than one pastor at one time because God needs you to hear a clear voice. You know what I'm saying? One pastor could be in one dimension or place in God while another one is in another place. So now, in that, it will cause you to be caught into a place that you don't know where you're at. It's just like being on an airplane. If you're going from the East Coast to the West Coast, don't you change time zones? So if you're in a changed time zone, people end up getting jet lag or they're ahead of time. So some things carry you out of time if you got too many people speaking into your life because, you know, it's just like a baby. A baby has to crawl, walk, and then run. And so one pastor may be in a place of running while another one is in a place of crawling. And if you connected in a place of crawling, the pastor that's in a place of running may be too far ahead for you to catch up or stay in the game. So now it's not a good thing for you to be submitted to more than one pastor at a time. Amen? Let me even kind of back this up with something that Jesus said. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Amen. In John chapter 10, and verse 16, Jesus is speaking, and he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So if you're going to hear God's voice, you have to be in one fold and connected to one shepherd. Everybody catch that? You can't jump, dibble, and dabble from a bunch of foals and then have a bunch of shepherds. You got to belong to one or another. Even shepherds brand their sheep. Everybody hear me? Even shepherds brand their sheep, even as Jesus talked in the scripture, he says, they shall know my voice. They know my voice because of what they hear. And if people know anything about sheep, sheep are usually branded on their ear. So they know me by my sign or how I sound when I come to their ear. And when they get branded, they entrust the shepherd. So that means their they're willing to have a place of pain to be branded and connected to a shepherd because they trust the voice. How many of us, though, don't want to take the pain of being connected to a shepherd? Because there's got to be some pain that's associated with it in order for us to trust the voice. Amen. Amen. Still holding on that thought. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. And it says, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them. And they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. So God says, once again, by scripture, even here in the book of Ezekiel, when you've been cleaned up and you've been directed, God gives leadership over you and wants you to have one in that place in order to lead you into a place that you walk in judgment, that you observe all his laws, because shepherdship will instill the rules of the camp over the people. See, understand that even a shepherd, when they have sheep, they train the sheep to stay into the territory of the pasture so they don't go astray. Every once in a while, they have one that goes astray, but they go back and bring them back to the fold. But then that sheep has already trained to understand what is the pasture. And in the same turn, God gives instructions unto the shepherd or the pastor in order for the good and the safety of the sheep. Not just to be a browbeating to force, but to tell you what are the dangers of going outside the territory of blessing. There's coming a time that you will have to go out. However, in the time that you end, until God releases you and say that you're mature or that you've been perfected, that you have to understand the rules of engagement and the rules of how you stay in the camp to be blessed. See, everybody got to have laws and bylaws. That's why when it comes to a church, there's laws and bylaws that are set up by the shepherd or the pastor in order for people to stay in one accord and not cause division, but yet also for them not to cause division among the people unless it's unrighteousness within the lives of the people. Amen? So, that brings me now to number seven, in which I've already pretty much defined here, because it says, is the gift of the office of the pastor clearly defined through Scripture? And once again, as I said earlier in this teaching, and I'll iterate it again, you don't find anywhere in the Bible that there's a definition for the pastor. However, once again, you have to look and yoke what the Scripture give us in regards to shepherds and parallel that to the pastor in order to get a real revelation of their responsibility. Amen? Now, I will tell you this, though. The occupation that's associated with pastorship ain't really boldly acceptable to everyone, including the world, because in most cases, this responsibility by the world is considered an abomination. And if you think about it, that's why a lot of people don't even function under that anointing in their own household, because it seems like it's something crazy, it's something ludicrous. It seems like it's something that doesn't yoke itself to what a household should function as. And as I said before, the household gives the guidance as to what the church is supposed to look like. So if the household ain't doing it, how's the church going to get it right? Okay. Jesus. Let's look at that for a minute. Turn with me to Genesis 46. Like I said, the world doesn't even look at the anointing of pastorship or the occupation being something that fits. It's like out of the ordinary. In Genesis 46, amen. Verse 31, amen, the scripture says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, unto his father's house, I will go up and brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And notice that in verse 31, he says, my father and my brethren and my father's house. Okay, meaning out of the household. He turns around and says in verse 32, they're identified as shepherds. Now, this is giving a little bit of prophetic revelation there as I keep iterating in this teaching about shepherdship or pastorship is not exclusive to the office in the church, but it should be something emulated in the household. Amen? So now, understand that he says, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. Watch this. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So now, that becomes an abomination because watch this. Shepherdship means headship. Shows headship. So that kind of alters the way it would look as an Egyptian, because as an Egyptian, you have a pharaoh. So pharaoh still ties into the name meaning upper house or headship or head of house. And I just told you shepherdship, pastorship, is about being also the head of your household when we look at it and bring it down from just the occupation of the church, but being in the house. So that's kind of like challenging to authorityship for an Egyptian. So in the same turn, when people practice, watch this, when you really practice the shepherdship or pastorship in your own household, that becomes defensive or causes issues with the world, because the world ain't used to you being into a place of authority within your own house as God has already declared it. The way the world looks at things, people that are in authority are only people that are in charge of companies or in charge of businesses, CEOs or places where you work. But they don't expect you to operate with that authority in your house. See, when you operate in authority in your house, what I'm telling you and giving you a revelation on that shade of operating in pastorship or shepherdship or responsibility, because you're responsible for everything within your pasture or the territory of your household. So that's why you become a threat or challenging to folks outside the body of Christ, because they ain't used to somebody else being in a mindset or an anointing of leadership. Okay. I know we're getting close here down to time. One thing that I want to hit here also, because some people, once again, as I mentioned, that pastorship yokes itself to the identities of Christ. I can't miss not giving that to you. First of all, when you look at John 10, verse 14 and 17, Jesus himself identifies himself as the good shepherd. Mark 6:34 also identifies him as the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, Paul identifies him as the great shepherd. And see, this is due to him having an eternal covenant of power. Peter refers to him, watch this, not only as a shepherd, but also as a bishop of souls for those that have been scattered or gone astray. Turn with me to 1 Peter. I can't miss turning to that one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And once again, bishop in the Greek means overseer of your souls, or the mind of your spirit. And note, he says, you are now under him because you've been drawn back in. Remember, as I was saying, if you've been scattered out, you first got to be brought back or brought into a place that you can be led. And then once you're you're in a place that you can be led, then you have shepherdship over you or pastorship given unto you. And in the same turn, understand this means right here, again, Jesus becomes Lord in your life and becomes your shepherd, your pastor, and your overseer or bishop when you have gone into a place that you turn back and want to be led. Now, with that being said, it brings me to this last point that, you know, some things are words of technicality, but I will tell you this, as far as by scripture, Jesus is still the senior pastor. Amen? Turn me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. It says, and when the chief, like I didn't make that up, it says right there when it says the chief, chief meaning senior shepherd or pastor shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So understand, there is a thing of order, because technically when we talk about pastors in the church and we talk about pastors or shepherds of our own household, technically we're only under shepherds. Jesus is always the senior shepherd. Make sure everybody got that right. In technicality, he is the senior shepherd. We're only under shepherds because we're under him. None of us is senior to Christ Jesus himself. So Jesus is the senior. But now, let me give you a real revelation here. He says here in this verse, souls who receive this will receive a crown or royal mark of glory or opinion resulting from the praise that will never fade away. So watch this. It says when the senior shepherd appears, but watch this, that's not just talking about Jesus returning, it's talking about him appearing in you. When the senior shepherd makes manifestation within you, because you have to understand, it says he becomes your elder in the next verse. Alright, if he is to become your elder, understand, elder comes from the Greek word presbyteros, which means older of two in age. Okay, so why would he be associated as the older of two in age, other than the fact that he comes together with you? Both of you are in existence together. And so what the scripture is saying, when he appears, he becomes senior in your life. This is about about the manifestation of the seed, the anointing of pastorship or the shepherdship that you've already gotten in you because you claim to be like Christ Jesus and come from his DNA. So when he appears or begins to manifest in you, then it means he becomes senior, and now he's the one that leads you as the ultimate senior shepherd, and you in the flesh are the junior or the natural shepherd. Amen. So now, with that being said, like I said, there is a thing that relays seniorship, undership, but this is all what the Lord has given as a revelation regarding the gifting of the pastor. Amen.